Father, we thank you for those words through Christ our Lord. Thank you, Christ. Before we begin, the sharing is going to be on covenants, which I think is a lost idea in many of the generations that we have in the United States, at least. Before them, I'd like to address that we're really a cell unit, this particular fellowship. We have three generations here, and maybe if you're listening or watching, you can also be a cell unit. That what we've been taught, or what is taught as Christianity, is in many cases not Christianity at all. It's really doctrines of demons. So I just want to give you an example of what people are taught and what the truth really is. So I'm going to ask about 23 questions, and you guys can answer. Who wrote Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
Paul?
Yahweh. Come on, you guys.
No one knows this.
I don't know.
I never said Matthew, Mark, and John did, but obviously they didn't.
Well, it doesn't say who wrote them.
That's right.
It's real simple.
We don't know.
We don't know who. That's the answer. We don't know who wrote them. Because it never says, and so that's the traditions of men. I want you to participate, guys. Otherwise, this generational thing is supposed to be going down three generations. Now, you knew it, and that's good. Who was in the Gospel of John? Who was the disciple that Yahushua loved?
We don't know.
Okay, we don't know. It never says. People will say John or something. It doesn't make any difference. It never says. What is our Heavenly Father's name?
Yahweh.
Okay, isn't that? What's the name of our Lord?
Yahushua.
And what does Yahushua mean?
Yahweh.
Not you. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yahweh salvation.
Yeah, what is Yahweh? Yeah, Yah is salvation.
Oh.
Yahweh saves. Yahweh is salvation. You're right. What day was Christ crucified on? Adults, of course.
September.
Well, you guys know when.
11 to the 18th.
Wendy.
March 16th?
No, the day of the week.
Wednesday?
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
You had to have been on Saturday.
Sunday.
Oh, wait a minute.
Wednesday night.
Yeah, I knew that. I'm sorry.
Come on, you
guys. What am I thinking?
You're really looking like we've lost this whole thing. My goodness. It's not Wednesday night either. It's Wednesday before sunset.
Well,
I mean, it's really important. So when did he get up?
Between the evening Saturday.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Wednesday before sunset. I mean, or Saturday before sunset.
Between the evenings.
Sunset. Not between the evenings. No, because he died and was taken down. And we know that was before sunset, so it's 72 hours. And so he had to get up Wednesday before sunset. Now, you had to do the
he didn't get up Wednesday.
I mean, Saturday. Yeah, Saturday. He died Wednesday, but everybody's got Friday. And got up on Sunday, which was not true. How many were crucified with Christ?
Five total.
So how many were crucified with Christ?
Four.
Okay, good. People got that wrong. Are we going to inherit heaven or the earth?
The earth.
Earth.
Okay, the earth.
Heaven comes down.
What gender is the Hebrew word ruach? Spirit.
Was it female?
What gender?
I said it's
feminine.
It's feminine.
That's feminine. People should know this because there's a whole teaching on the Holy Spirit, which is not accurate at all. What gender is pneuma, which is the Greek word that translates spirit?
Female.
No.
It's neuter.
Neuter.
Okay, it's neuter. So everybody, these should automatically be in your head. So when somebody says Holy Spirit, you can say, do you realize that spirit in Hebrew is feminine? Or in Greek, it's neuter. I mean, these are...
Neuter means nothing.
No, it just means not male or female.
It's like a table is neuter. A table's not male or female.
Where are the dead right now?
Asleep.
What?
Asleep.
That's right. That's good. Is there a Trinity in the Word of Yahweh?
No.
Okay. And what is a Trinity, kids? Anybody can say?
Three gods.
Three gods, okay. Is the word unconditional, this is for the adults, since they've read the word, is the word unconditional ever in the Word of Yahweh?
No.
Now, very big teaching is Yahweh's unconditional love. The word unconditional is not in there. Is the word Bible ever in this book?
No.
No.
Bible
means
book.
Is there a hell in this book?
No.
Okay. Is there anybody who was immersed in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in this book?
No.
No.
I thought there was one.
Nope.
What was made on the sixth day, kids?
Man. All animals and
man. Okay, animals, the land animals and man. Right, people forget about the land animals. All they've got is man on the sixth day. Was man and woman made at different times?
No.
Yes.
No, they were both made. They're twins. Made at the same time.
That's right. That's the first creation. The second one is in Genesis 3 where she came from the rib. That's the second one, but everybody else is going to look at that first. And no, that's not it. Male and female were made at the same time.
Twins.
In Genesis chapter 1. Good, Nathalia. What is the last, and according to the Hebrew text, what is the last book in the Old Testament?
The Revelation?
Go ahead. No, Old Testament.
Oh.
Go ahead, Eric.
It's Chronicles.
Yeah, which one?
Well, there's only one Chronicles.
Yeah, that's right.
They divided it into two.
You call it out. Second Chronicles is the end of the Old Testament. And why that's so important, I mean, and who changed this? Well, that was the Septuagint, 258 B.C., who changed the orders of the books of the Word. And a lot of our problems came from the Septuagint changing, getting rid of Yahweh, adding Hades, you know, adding a lot of other stuff all the way through there. Okay, how old was Yahushua when he began his ministry?
30.
No.
About.
12?
About.
Oh, yes.
About 30. All right, so was he 30?
No.
No. So, I mean, very important to pay attention to the details. What language did Yahushua speak to Paul on the road to Damascus?
Jewish? Roman?
Hebrew?
Greek?
Hebrew. Who said Hebrew? Yeah, he spoke Hebrew.
Jewish.
Well, people today say, no, they didn't speak Hebrew, they spoke Aramaic.
Yeah.
No. Paul spoke, gave probably the revelation of everything to Paul in Hebrew. Hebrew language is the language, not Aramaic or Greek. Very important to know that. Does Yahushua have a God?
Yes.
Okay, can you give me a verse? It's Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Yahushua. Okay, good. Are speaking in tongue and prophesying gifts?
No.
What are they?
Manifestations of the gift.
Manifestations of the gift. Everybody else will say these are gifts. No, they're not. Is the woman caught in adultery in this text?
No.
Sorry. No, it's not either. So all these things that we just covered are all taught in Christianity wrong. Yep. And that was from our childhood. We had to relearn it. We had to get rid of that, not relearn it. We had to purge ourselves, because what you find out when you read this book, none of that stuff's there. Now we get into covenant. Let's see where we are time-wise. This might be a two-part teaching. Covenant is very important. I don't believe in the United States, at least in this generation, people even have a conception of covenant. Even the marriage covenant is really not a covenant. You know, so people have a hard time to actually commit their life to an agreement that their word said they're going to do something, and then they actually do it for the rest of their life. If they say, I vow to do this, and that's what's got to be very careful with love, and what we're going to see too, many times people say, I love you. Well, are you going to help me move? Well, no. Be very careful about what you're saying then, because there is a love, and I might help you in another area, but there is something else that the word chesed. And chesed is a binding agreement that you're going to do something. And so if I have a chesed relationship with a person, that means I will move them, whether I like it or not, because it's my covenant. I've made this chesed with this particular person. So we have to be careful. You know, you can say, I love somebody, and I might give them some money or help them out, but am I going to take care of them when they're sick and feed them and change their diaper? No, I'm not. So I never entered into that sphere. Now, with a chesed relationship, you will. And that's, you know, usually family members, a husband and wife, and so forth. But the Hebrew word for covenant is bari, Yeah, B-E-R-E-E-T-H. And the Ark of the Covenant, everybody's familiar with the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah, it's not the Ark, it's what's in it. Mm-hmm. And what was in it?
The covenant.
A written covenant. And what was that arrangement, which we will see. So we have, Barith is Strong's number 01285. Hesed, which we're going to find too, is 02617. We know Ahab. Anybody know what Ahab means?
Love.
What was it translated?
Love.
Love. Yeah, that's the Hebrew word. It's not agape, it's Ahab. 0157 is a verb. Emet is faith, faithful. And Yahweh is E-M-E-T. And 0571, which comes from the word aman, which Melania used, which is what we call believe or faith in
certainty.
The Old Testament. Yeah, and which means certainty. So Emet comes for that. When you're faithful, that means you're certain. You're going to come there. This was at the end of the summary of a book called Hesed in the Bible. And I'm just going to read some things that he said on that. Remember, Hesed is what the Rothman will translate long-suffering. Other people will say mercy and love and kindness and things, but Hesed is an obligation, a physical obligation two individuals or entities have entered into. So it's loyalty, and we're going to see right here, and it's all connected to covenant. So if a husband, a man and woman enter into a covenant and they state the vows, here's what you can't say till death do us part. That's just stupid.
We do.
But I know we do. And that you don't vow something, you aren't going to guarantee that you're going to keep. Very simply, because if the other person breaks their covenant and commits adultery, we know the word automatically says you can divorce this person, or if the person becomes a murderer, or the person, quits working and just refuses to do anything, then you can break that because they have broken their covenant. So you are released from that covenant because they broke their covenant. But here's, we're going to talk about Hesed and Barith, which is covenant.
The breach of covenant.
Yeah. The Yahweh's Hesed can only be understood as Yahweh's covenantal relationship toward his followers. If Yahweh's Hesed is comprehended in this manner, then it is certain that only those who stand in an ethical and religious relationship to him may receive and expect his Hesed. Yahweh's Hesed, and so when you get into this unconditional love stuff, which we'll get into, but it's a doctrines of demons. Yahweh's Hesed corresponds to the demand of loyalty, justice, and righteousness. It always contains three concepts. Yahweh's Hesed and Emet, which is faithfulness, are to be considered a Hinnadah, in which Emet has a value of a descriptive adjective.
Do you mind reading that again?
But Hesed is always faithful. So faithful is a Hesed.
What was called Emet?
Emet is faithful. And so a lot of times they're tied together. So Hesed
is always
Emet. Long-suffering, and long-suffering is not, we don't have a word for Hesed, so that's why we transliterate it. Yahweh's Hesed is a result of his covenant, or his promise or oath. The Hesed of Yahweh, while it is not to be identified with his grace, is still based upon the latter, insofar as the relationship between Yahweh and people, structured by him as a covenantal relationship, was effected by electing Israel through an act of grace. So we know from a superior to a subordinate, there's no reason for you to enter into a covenant. Because you're 1,000 times better than we are. So how can we even be equal? Yeah, so even expect a relationship with you. It'd be like you entering into a covenant with Donald Trump. And you can say my assets are your assets and vice versa. Well, but Yahweh has done that. So he has lowered himself in this particular case, and that's where it's a great situation. The significance of a said can be rendered by loyalty, mutual aid, or reciprocal love. But it is required. So it's very simply, Yahweh, when we're walking in our covenant is, it promises has said, which we will see. And you can't go against that. So we're going to see where the words are together, which we begin in Deuteronomy 7, chapter 7, verse 9, page 206. And kids, you got to realize you do not vow something unless you're absolutely going to keep it. Period. So when you make a promise, be very careful. You might even, and young people can't get into vows, and even daughters and children cannot do a vow. The father could override it. Even the wife, according to work, could not do a vow unless the husband okayed it. Because people have a tendency to promise things they cannot deliver. That by breaking your vow, which people in the United States do all the time, we have to sue them in court with a legal document to make them honor their vow.
Yeah.
And that's a despicable thing, because it used to be that if a person said, my handshake is my bond, if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Their word is their bond. But today, we don't have that, so we have a society that actually believes that their word is not their bond. They don't have to vow. They can vow something and break it the next day. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. This is great. I'll read 9 through 16. So then thou must know that Yahweh thy Elohim, he is Elohim, the faithful El, keeping his covenant and his what?
Hesed.
So we see Barith and Hesed together with them that love him. This is conditions, remember? He keeps his covenant with them who love him.
And keep his
commandments to 1,000 generations, because that's the covenant. But requiting them who hate him unto his face, to destroy them, he will not be slack towards them. Him that hateth him, unto his face will he requite him. So shall thou keep the commandment and the statute and the regulations which I am commanding thee to do them. Then shall it come to pass, if you will hearken unto these regulations, there's the condition, here is the covenant.
Here's what you need to do.
Now there's the covenant. And keep and do them, then will Yahweh thy Elohim keep with thee the covenant and the hesed which he swore unto thy fathers, and will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. So very simply, you keep my commandments, I will love you, bless you, and multiply you. You do not keep my commandments, then you have broken the covenant. And I do not have to honor what I promised you. And bless the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground, thy corn and the new wine and thine oil, the young and the kine, and the ewes of the flock upon the soil which he sweared unto thy fathers to give unto thee. Blessed shalt thou be beyond all the peoples. There shall not be in thee a barren male or female, nor among thy cattle, and Yahweh will turn away from thee all diseases as all the sore sickness of Egypt, in which thou knowest he will not lay them upon thee, but will put them upon all who hate thee. And thou shalt devour all the peoples who Yahweh thy Elohim is delivering up unto thee, and I shall not look with pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for a snare would it be unto thee. There is a covenant. That's our covenant relationship with Hesed and Barith, or covenant. Now we go to 1 Samuel chapter 20, page 309. This is between David and Jonathan. The covenant. Twenty 1 through 8, if you can read that, Wendy.
I'm sorry, just a sec. I'm sorry, I'm not there. Okay, 309, what?
Chapter 20, verses 1 through 8.
Okay. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came in and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is my transgression? And what my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? And he said unto him, Far be it, thou shalt not die. Lo, my father doeth nothing great or small without unveiling mine ear. Wherefore then should my father hide from me this thing? There is nothing in this. But David sware further and said, Thy father doth know that I have found favor in thine eyes. Therefore saith he, Do not let Jonathan know this, lest he grieve. But indeed, by the life of Yahweh and by the life of thine own soul, surely there is but, as it were, a step betwixt me and death. And Jonathan said unto David, Whatsoever thy soul shall desire, I will do for thee. And David said unto Jonathan, Lo, the new moon is tomorrow, and I must not sit with the king to eat. Let me go then and hide myself in the field until the evening. If thy father inquire of me, then shalt thou say, David did ask leave of me to run to Bethlehem, his own city, for a yearly sacrifice is to be held there for all the family. If thus he say, It is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if it anger him, know that harm hath been determined by him. Thus shalt thou do, and has said, for thy servant. For into a covenant of Yahweh hast thou brought thy servant with thee. But if there is in me transgression, put me to death thyself, for unto thy father, wherefore shouldest thou bring me in?
Okay, that's it. But there you see the Hesed and the covenant of Yahweh between Jonathan and David. Now we go to one on Solomon, 1 Kings 8:23, page 360. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 Kings. I'm going to do a lot of reading. That's why I'll probably do it in two parts. It's very important for people to actually see the scriptures and see the heart to realize that today covenant is just as important as, you know, with any relationship that you enter into. I have to have your fidelity and faithfulness that you're not going to abandon me unless it's by my doing something wicked. And the cultures are based upon that. But in our society today, it seems like it's more of a rarity. In verse 8:23, you want to read that, Melania?
Yeah. And said, O Yahweh, God of Israel, not like thee is there a God in the heavens above or upon the earth beneath, keeping covenant and has said for thy servants who are walking before thee with all their heart.
What is the condition? For the servants who are walking before him. You get has said and the covenant. 24.
Who hast kept for thy servant David, my father, that which thou didst promise him, and thou didst promise with thy mouth and with thy hand, hast fulfilled as it is this day.
And we get to call upon Yahweh on his covenant, has said, as we're keeping his covenant, all right, that we demand his has said on our lives. And the promises that you said, you're going to promise this, you're going to make us fruitful, you're going to do this, we claim that every day. I'm doing my part because this is the covenant relationship. Now we go to, and that's also in Nehemiah 1:5 and Daniel 9:4. And the last relationship between Asad and Bari is Psalms 25:10. Page 540. And I think what people today, in the age that we live in, especially in the New Testament age, this is the farthest thing from our mind. It says we're not Hebrews, we haven't grown up into a family. I think there are a lot of civilizations where this is absolutely... He wants to stand up, I think. Yeah, he just wants to... That this is just a part of family. So you can have Mexican families or Italian families or other societies where Hesed and a covenant is demanded. Mm-hmm. Now, you will take care of your parents for the rest of your life because you're their child. That comes with the deal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not an option. Now, if they become a murderer or something like that, you don't have to do that. But these are just part of the deal where today in our society, let the government do that. Mm-hmm. let the government do that. I'm going to let the government do that. And I have, we experience this all the time with working with senior citizens. 25:10, Esther.
All the paths of Yahweh are his goodness and faithfulness. The steadfast keep his covenant and his testimonies.
There's all the paths of Yahweh are his said and he met to such as keepeth bereath and his testimonies. What's the condition?
To keep
what? His testimony.
Testimony or his covenant
and his testimonies. His covenant and testimony. So you got these things when you do the conditions. And that's with any kind of covenant we enter into. So with marriage, it's very important to be people to put down specific vows. Here's what I'm promising you. And you better have me some vows too, and you don't get these general vows that mean absolutely nothing. For better, for poor, for richer, for poor, till death do us part. That's not a vow. That is something that, and people, you can see there's a 50% divorce rate in the United States. Mm-hmm. Now those words mean nothing to the majority of the people. And very simply. And some of them are so vague, you could be the innocent party, the person broke through a covenant, but I promise to be there till the rest of their life. Well, this person's an adulterer. Well, I promised them I was going to be there the rest of their life. Well, you shouldn't have done that. And as a parent, we should say, don't ever make those vows. And pastors are giving them out because they look really cute. Mm-hmm. That's not a reality. That's not the word of Yahweh at all. Mm-hmm. Now we go into the difference between a covenant is what they call unilateral and bilateral covenant. So a unilateral is one person is making it only. And when parents have a child, that's a unilateral covenant. The child didn't ask to be born. Is it part of their covenant? Is it take care of that child until they're of mature age? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it goes without saying. That's a unilateral. The child had no say in this. It's a unilateral covenant. And people realize that. Noah, we're going to see it was a unilateral covenant, and that's in, let's see here, we go into Genesis 9, verse 8. Unilateral covenant would obviously be with a retarded child or even an adult. They can't enter into a covenant, so somebody needs to make a unilateral covenant to say, I'm going to take care of you. Okay, 9, let's see here, verses 8 through 17. You want to begin on that, Izzy? And maybe you and Isaac?
The Elohim spake unto Noah, unto his sons with him, saying, I therefore behold me, establishing my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living soul that is with you, of birds of the tame beast and of all the wild beasts of the earth that are with you, and all coming forth out of the ark, even to all wild beasts of the earth. Yea, I will establish my covenant with you, so that all the flesh shall not be cut off any more by reason of the waters of the flood, neither shall there be any more flood to destroy the earth.
So we're going to read, but understand, Yahweh is making a covenant for all mankind. We're not even born yet, right? So this is called a unilateral covenant. He's making a covenant with the animals too. He said, I'm never going to flood the earth again. Okay, keep reading verse 12.
And Yahweh said, this is a sign of the covenant which I am granting betwixt me and you and every living soul that is with you, to age abiding generations. My bow have I sent in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of a covenant betwixt me and the earth. And it shall be when I draw a veil of cloud of the earth, and the bow in the cloud appeareth, then will I remember my covenant which is betwixt me and you and every living soul among all flesh, and the waters may no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. So the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will behold it, to remember an age-abiding covenant between Yahweh and every living soul among all flesh that is on the earth. And Yahweh said unto Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established betwixt me and all flesh that is on the earth.
So this is an example of a unilateral covenant Yahweh made. Now we go into chapter 6 of the same book with Noah. This is a bilateral covenant. This was after the flood. So the covenant, which is an agreement, I'm not going to flood the earth. Okay. So when we have very big rains, we can really say,
don't worry about
that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Chapter 6, verse 7 through 9. And Yahweh said, this is to Noah, I must wipe off man whom I created from off the face of the ground, from man unto beast, unto creepy things, unto the bird of the heavens, for I am grieved that I made them. But Noah hath found favor in the eyes of Yahweh. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. With Elohim did Noah walk. You see here. So the covenant that he made with Noah in this particular case was because of his righteousness. So my covenant is I'm going to let you live because you are righteous. And we entered into a covenant. So that's a bilateral covenant. A covenant. Now we go to Abraham, or Abram, Genesis chapter 17. One through 14. So we'll do a little reading. Now remember, that's Yahweh making an agreement with man. You know, it's quite exciting to be able to look at the superior to the flea. You know, I'm making a covenant with you. It'd be like you making a covenant with your cat. You know, you use the litter box. Use the litter box. And come on my bed each night, and I'll take care of you the rest of your life. Wow. That's a perfect situation. So 17:1, this is Abram. And it came to pass when Abram was 99 years old, Yahweh appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am El Shaddai. Walk thou before me and become thou blameless. And this is very important. His conditions, came out of the land of Ur because of him leaving other gods, which is done in the book of Acts. Two, that I may set my covenant betwixt me and thee. So here's the covenant. And may multiply thee exceedingly. So I know the upside of the covenant, I know Abram is going to get children exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and Elohim spake with him, saying, as for me, lo, my covenant is with thee, so shall thou become a father of a multitude of nations, and thy name shall no more be called Abram, but thy name shall become Abraham, for a father of a multitude of nations have I appointed thee. And I will make thee fruitful exceedingly, and grant thee to be nations. Yea, kings out of thee shall come forth. And I will confirm my covenant betwixt me and thee, and thy seed after thee, to their generations, for an age-abiding covenant to become to thee an Elohim, and to thy seed after thee. You know, this is neat. I'm pledging to become an Elohim to you, and not to other people, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give to thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land of thy sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an age-abiding possession, and I will be to them an Elohim. And Elohim said unto Abraham, but as for thee, my covenant must thou keep. There's the deal. Thou and thy seed after thee to their generations. You must keep your side, and I'll keep my side. This is my covenant which you shall keep betwixt me and you and thy seed after thee, to circumcise to you every male. So shall you be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, so shall become a sign of a covenant betwixt me and you. It's not the covenant, but it's a sign of the covenant. No different than, I would think, a contract, paperwork, or the ten words or ten commandments.
Wedding ring, maybe.
Yeah, a wedding ring, too. It's a sign of a covenant. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised to you, every male to your generation. He that is born of the house, and he that is bought with silver of any son of a stranger, who is not of thy seed, he must surely be circumcised, born of thy house, or bought with thy silver. So shall my covenant be in your flesh for an age-abiding covenant. And you can really see why the Hebrews reluctantly gave up circumcision, you know, in the book of Acts. Because it was so, and you know, this says it's an age-abiding, it's an age-abiding covenant. What do you mean you don't have to be circumcised anymore? And so you can see that was a big a point. But as for the uncircumcised male, very simply, the covenant is you're going to, you know, the sign of the covenant is you're going to get circumcised. And if you don't get circumcised, here's what's going to happen. And as for the uncircumcised male who shall not be circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from among his people. My covenant hath he made what?
Void.
Void. So just remember, every covenant can be made void if the person broke their covenant. And that's what marriage is supposed to be. So I agree to take care of you, to do as Yahweh tells me to do, and to be faithful to you sexually and spiritually and physically. But if you do this, the covenant is void. And a church should be enforcing that, actually. And they don't. You know, so churches never go into, it appears, never go into, they'll marry somebody, but they won't divorce them. Because they should be coming up for the elders and tell us your story and tell us who broke the covenant. And we'll see if it's according to Yahweh that you do this, then the church should say, you know, if a person committed adultery and the person, you know, says, I want out because they broke their covenant, so be it. Then you are you know, able to marry again because you are faithful to your covenant. The person who broke their covenant, you are not able to marry again. Very simple. And that's what we see in 1 Corinthians 7, where it talks about if a wife leave her husband, don't leave her husband. But if you do, which means you broke the covenant, remain unmarried. You can't marry again.
Can't do it again.
Yeah, so that's it. Why the person who was left can do it again. And I think we'll probably stop there. This will be part one. Kind of losing people. The covenants are huge. That's what life's all about. You know, is are you going to be there in the thick and thin? And that's like with alliances with countries and everybody else. When you sign these treaties, you better be here. In World War II, a lot of that was not done. And now your word means absolutely nothing. And so with us, and with parents especially, is showing kids you do not ever make promises that you cannot, have you not thought about and actually can keep. Better not to, just I will try, but I will do it. No, unless you're guaranteed you're going to do that. That your word is your bond. All right. Well, Father, we thank you for these words, and we'll give a prophecy for the people listening or watching this. According to 1 Corinthians 14, begin each day meditating upon my word, and my thoughts are high thoughts. My thoughts are above your thoughts. So seek my word. You must have my word instilled in you, and not the doctrines and commandments of men, not what people say about my word, but you must meditate in my words. When they become your thoughts, my become your thoughts, my thoughts become your thoughts, my heart becomes your heart. And only as you do this shall you be able to repel the enemy, the lies of the enemy. You will see the lies of the enemy, and you will extinguish the fiery darts that come at you. Amen. See you for part two.
Okay, we have a happy Monday.